Days.
Yes, Cody.
I feel like it's been quite some time since we've gotten together like this.
Dude, almost a week and a half?
Wild.
Too long, brother.
The only thing that's longer than that is how much longer we have to wait for football still.
Too long, brother. Welcome to the Steelers by the Leg podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you this ridiculously hot summer day?
This ridiculously hot Monday summer day, because we're back to recording on Mondays.
Back to Monday.
We are going to continue recording on Mondays up until maybe when football season starts, depending on with Monday Night Football. We have a couple of those. So no, but I'm doing phenomenal. James, how are you doing?
Good, man. I'm glad I'm done working for the day. Drove about 300 miles today. So yeah, I'm done with that.
Were you in the nasty place again?
Yeah, yep. And then I had to go back halfway there for another stop after I got back.
He had to go to Cleveland, y'all.
Cleveland. Then Trash Tabula after that. So
Trash Tabula.
I mean Ash Tabula. I love it there.
Oh man. Well, as always, Steelers by the Lake News. We have new Instagram likes.
Yes.
Mr. Octopus. Mr. Octopus.
We're saying that because the other name that's on there, it's a little bit difficult to pronounce.
I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
Out of respect to you, good sir, I'm not going to screw it up.
So if you also go by Mr. Octopus, we're going to call you that.
Absolutely. Moving on to Steelers news.
Yes. So in a recent study that was done, the all-time college wide receivers were ranked.
Yes, they were, and our very own James Washington was actually ranked 16th overall out of the top 50.
That's in all-time college history.
Yeah, well, last 50 years.
Oh, still. Good enough,
almost
right?
All time.
Realistically, how much did they pass before 50 years ago anyway,
true.
Right?
It's very true.
You catch three balls in a season and you were leading the league.
Which is wild to think about. But yeah, so James Washington, our number four.
Yeah,
I would say right now, number four wide receiver was ranked 16th overall. And even looking at some of his college stats, 2014 is his freshman year, 28 receptions for 456 yards and 6 touchdowns. Nothing crazy there. But then after there, he just goes off. You look at 2015 with 53 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 20.5 average per catch, and then 10 touchdowns. 10 touchdowns again the following year on 71 receptions for almost 1,400 yards receiving. And then his senior year in 2017, where he actually won the Biletnikoff Award, 74 receptions, 1,500 yards, 13 touchdowns.
And the Biletnikoff Award, obviously for anyone who's a big college football fan, you would know, that goes to the wide receiver that is voted on as the number one wide receiver in college football that year. Fred Biletnikoff was actually from Erie.
Yes, he was.
So right where we record the podcast from. He's from our hometown, so kind of a cool little tidbit there. But yeah, James Washington really had an excellent college career, and when you look at it, his last 3 years, he was averaging 20 yards per reception, basically, with a little more 1 year, a little less the year before, but just absolutely incredible. His ability to track a deep ball and adjust to it, whether it was overthrown or underthrown.
Underthrown Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, sometimes perfectly yeah. too. Give him some credit. There were some nice throws there. Really, he did an excellent job, I thought, too, of staying on his feet afterwards. You know, we see him now in the NFL. In his specialty last year was probably winning the contested catch. You know, if you threw a jump ball to him, he's the one that catches it.
Yeah, you never would expect that.
Yeah.
But he just out-muscled people.
Yeah, yeah. And that goes to speak a little bit of his frame, too. He's a little stockier, building a normal wide receiver at 5'11", 213. That is not what you normally see on a wide receiver. It's almost more running back frame. Mm-hmm. And he shows it, man. I absolutely love how physical and how strong he plays.
Yeah.
But when you use that as a comparison to like his pro numbers and where he's at, what he's done so far.
It's wild, the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it just shows how much Pittsburgh doesn't utilize him yet.
Yeah.
And hopefully they do. I would love to keep this guy on a long-term deal. And maybe that's what they're doing. I think we've discussed this before. Maybe they're trying not to use him as much. They realize they have a good player. They want to sign him to a long deal and not have his stats be totally crazy before then, so he doesn't want a lot of money. But even right now, on 90 receptions in the last 3 years, he's averaging almost 15 yards per reception. He has 9 total touchdowns, 5 of them coming last year. I think the biggest thing there is he has 9 touchdowns in 3 years playing with us. He had 10 in back-to-back college years.
And 13 the following.
And then the 13 as senior. All of those having less games played.
Yeah.
That's wild. Now, I understand, you know, you got Juju. You had Deontay last year. You got Chase Claypool last year as well. But even looking back on his rookie year in 2018, 38 targets, 16 receptions for 217 yards, 1 touchdown. That, to me, that's just not utilizing him enough. And again, I know rookie year, but I'm really hoping to see more of him this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice to get him a little more involved. It's difficult to say, who do you take off the field, you know? I mean, I guess the contrast for me is, do you have him out there or do you have Deontay Johnson? Deontay just exceedingly dynamic with the football in his hands, making people miss. But nowhere near as reliable as a catcher. James Washington is just about as reliable catching the football as it gets. Him and Juju just had tremendous hands last year catching the football.
Yeah. They need to rub some of that off on Mr. Ebron.
Oh, Lord, and more on Deontay.
We talk about it all the time. We need to stop. We need to move on. Forgive and forget, baby. Okay. But, yeah, I genuinely think that James Washington is set up for a breakout year. With the new weapons offensively and getting a running game back, I think if you throw a 4 wide receiver set out there and run it once or twice, it's going to open up some crazy passing down the field out of a 4 wide receiver set.
So. And if you're running a lot of motion too, which the Matt Canada offense is known for a lot of motion, those wide receivers might tire out a little bit more. You might have to rotate guys like James Washington in a little bit more than you were previously.
100%.
And he'll only help with your running game as well. Being a physical guy like that, he can handle his corner in a one-on-one block. So more utilization of James Washington can only help Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Just not going to be quite as dynamic as what he was in college with that 20 yards per catch, just because the difference between what he was as an athlete in college versus the guys he was playing against is drastically different on what you're playing against in the NFL.
Drastically.
Yeah.
It's just a little different. And then even looking real quick, briefly, Mason Rudolph, our lovely backup right now for
lovely.
Pittsburgh. Lovely backup.
You love him.
It's debatable. he actually had the same career length and time frame as James Washington with Oklahoma State. They played for the same college. Both were freshmen at the same time, both graduated at the same time. That year in 2017 when James Washington won the Biletnikoff Award, Mason Rudolph threw for 96 yards shy of 5,000 yards. And threw for 37 touchdowns with only 9 picks.
Pretty impressive, man.
Crazy impressive.
When you look at his last 2 years of college football, Mason put up some really good numbers. Even though the year previous, his junior year, his numbers weren't as gaudy, you really got to be impressed by that. 28 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, man. That's some pretty accurate passing right there.
Yeah. I do like seeing the growth that you see out of him. I mean,
every year more touchdowns than the year before, you know, increasing his completion percentage every single year and that yardage total as well, which a lot of that you obviously can see translates from the increase in the yards per reception from James Washington.
Jeez.
But it was a real potent offense there at the time, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So that's the one light spot that I will say that Mason Rudolph has proven himself on the field, on a college field. But
yeah,
I'm excited. I don't know. I'm excited and stressed to see the future without Ben. But again, this was more talking about James Washington and giving him praise for top 16.
Incredible.
Top 16 in the last 50. I imagine the number of wide receivers that have played college football in the last 50 years.
And think about even just Steelers wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ranking Steelers wide receivers, he doesn't even make the top 5, probably not the top 10.
In the last 50, no.
Yeah.
No, because you got Lynn, Stallworth, Brown. You could argue Hines put Ward. Juju ahead of him, Hines Ward.
Louis Lips. There's all these guys. Yancey Thigpen had a heck
Holmes,
of a career. Yeah. Plaxico Burress.
Yeah.
You go on and on with all these guys.
That's 8.
Yeah.
8 or 9 right there. So, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. And after this year, you might be putting Chase Claypool above him as far as his career already after 2 seasons.
Very true.
So, yeah. It is just very much so speaks to how excellent of a player he was in college ball.
Yep.
Now, before we get on to the other news that we're going to talk about, news did break. No, we talked about it before, just okay. not pre-show. okay. So we did find out this week, right before the big offensive line news, that the Steelers will not be holding training camp in Latrobe this
Correct.
Year. So unfortunately, we will not be able to make the trip to Latrobe. But it does sound like they're going to try to do a few of the practices at Heinz Field and make a few of them open to the public.
We will be at those ones.
Yeah. Assuming that they cooperate with work schedules and whatnot.
Fair enough. Fair.
But I do believe there'll be a good chance we'll be able to make it to at least one of them, maybe even more if we're lucky.
Yep.
But unfortunately, this is just going to make it a lot more difficult to get any news out of camp.
True.
Because if the only people that are allowed there for most of the practices are the reporters that report on the team, they're not allowed to say anything unless a player says something first.
Yeah.
So we might learn more this year from three or four public practices at Heinz Field and the four preseason games than we do from, you know, whatever it is, 40 days of training camp.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to get information out.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting year for sure when, as far as it comes. And who knows, that might be a good thing for Pittsburgh this year. That could potentially be a very good thing that other teams aren't hearing things from training camp.
Yeah, I mean, if we can't get our eyes on them, neither can our opponents. So
correct.
That's, yeah, not necessarily a bad thing, especially with so many young guys on the team this year.
Young guys on the offensive line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the unfortunate news this last week of David DeCastro being released.
Yep.
We've learned a lot more about it since then. Apparently, he had an ankle surgery in 2020. Had another off-season one, so he's had two of them. And he keeps on having reoccurring bone spurs, which I understand is not a common thing with this procedure. Usually you have a surgery to clean up the bone spurs, and they don't come back.
Yeah.
They have come back, and it looks as though he's probably going to have a third surgery, which is why Pittsburgh elected to release him.
Yeah.
That frees up almost $9 million in cap space, which they did turn around and use almost immediately
on
guard Trey Turner, which we spoke about last show that he had come in and visit.
Five-time Pro Bowler
at 28 years old.
We'll take that.
Last year was not one of those years.
No. And that's why do you think he's not still with the Chargers?
Yeah. And he was only with the Chargers for 1 year. They traded him for him and then let him go.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see. As far as the bone spurs, I can speak a little bit from personal experience. I had bone spurs in my shoulder at one point in time that were actually cutting into the shoulder muscles and also the rotator cuff, making it difficult to even put a shirt on or take one off.
Not good.
Yeah, very,
you
very
want
painful.
James to take his shirts off.
At least once a day to put a fresh one
Fair
on.
Fair enough.
It was actually a surgery for me. It was supposed to be done arthroscopically, so a tiny little incision, get in there, and they ended up having to open me up because it was not anywhere near as easy as they thought it was going to be. So I got a nice, fun scar, but it did heal up fully for me, and I've never had any issues with it since. David DeCastro, not so lucky.
Yeah. And so with that being said, these coming from the surgeries and everything else and them growing back, these are not football-related.
Correct. Yeah, bone spurs have nothing to do with football.
Which is why Pittsburgh, when they released him on a basically a non-football related,
injury related. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how they managed to not pay him, basically, and pay Trey Turner instead. Sad to see that happen, but it does make sense that it's not a football-related injury. Pittsburgh technically isn't at fault for it. You'd expect Pittsburgh to do something for him based on, you know, how they took care of Ryan Shazier and everything. But we'll have to wait and see. DeCastro currently said, or was quoted saying, I have no idea. My agent does a great job, and I'm sure he'll get the NFL Players Association and whatever we can do. He said, I'm not sure how much of a case they have, but honestly, it's not really my concern or worry right now. It's more just kind of getting this ankle right, not just for football if I want to play again, but just for life. Make sure I have mobility and be able to be active when I'm done. I know James and I can speak for both of us when I say that we wish the best for David DeCastro. We'd even love to probably see him back in a Steelers uniform if he could get stuff figured out. I think that might be past happening at this point. He seems a little offset with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, don't blame him.
But I know that this is a big thing for James specifically. I agree to some degree, but the offensive line now.
Yeah, man, I got to be honest with you. David DeCastro was like my last hope. He was the reason I wasn't panicking about the offensive line. And now he's not there to hold it together anymore. And I'm not saying I'm panicking, but I'm not as calm as I was before about it either.
We showed up to record the podcast. James was shaking. Tears were rolling.
It was bad.
Just kidding.
I went straight to the cookies.
That is a truth. That is a fact. And the little chocolate thing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Junk food right out of the gate.
But, yeah. So I agree to a degree. That David DeCastro was definitely the solid piece of our offensive line before this. I, however, feel that now, because I've witnessed this in life, in personal experiences, and in life, in like hearing other people's stories or other like hearing all the stories of like sports teams that come together, whatever. To me, this unifies our offensive line as these guys minus Chooks are all new.
Yeah.
All of them have something in common.
Super new.
So what that means to me is, like, I think about how many times can people who have been in a business for a long time actually tear down or, like, impede the growth of younger people. This takes one of those pieces out. Again, I would probably rather have DeCastro in right now, but these guys get to grow up and mature together and can process through their best gameplay and how they best want to be a unified offensive line, a unified front. And I'm excited to see what that might look like.
Yeah, and it really gives a chance to change not necessarily something that was a bad attitude, but have a different type of attitude there where, like, you keep on hearing Coach Clem preaching being physical mm-hmm. and bringing the nasty to the offensive line. And they need this. But maybe this is what they need to see, you know, a bunch of kids that really aren't too far removed from college other than Trey Turner being 28 years old.
Yeah.
He's the eldest guy by quite a bit, assuming you're not including guys like BJ Finney that are backups.
Yeah.
But you got a bunch of guys that are used to jumping into the pile in college ball, and maybe we finally get what we've been asking for out of this offensive line. And we get people that jump into that pile and push Najee Harris forward so it's not him fighting against a linebacker, two defensive linemen, and a safety
yeah.
trying to get extra yards, because it shouldn't be.
The thing we were talking about all last year.
Be offensive linemen joining in on that and helping push them forward for the extra yards.
Yep.
It's only going to energize them to work even harder on the next down. You know, it wears on you when you're getting outnumbered on every single play. You could see it in James Conner. You could see it in the other running backs last year when you're getting driven back on every play at the end of every single play because nobody ever comes to help.
Yep.
It's an 11-man sport, and they felt like they were out there on their own sometimes.
Yep. I felt like they were out there on their own
sometimes. I absolutely felt like they were out there on their own.
So, again, I agree 100% with what James is saying, that it sucks that the number one player on our offensive line is no longer on the team.
And he was really good.
Yeah, he was number one by far. It wasn't close. But I think the excitement that I have from realizing these guys are going to be able to do this all brand new all together is going to be really exciting to watch and exciting to see. And I think if they take things seriously in training camp and everything and come together, you know, go build that team energy, go out and have dinners together, hang out together, be with your families together. I think these guys can come together as a solid group and kick some butt.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward, too, to seeing Trey Turner healthy because a lot of people talking about him not having a good year last year, but he was playing on a bad groin.
Yeah.
Good luck pass blocking when you're trying to move laterally left to right when you got a bad groin, because that 100% affects that. So him fully healthy, you never know. He might even get back to that Pro Bowl form that he was known for back in Carolina before they went to that spread offense style with Christian McCaffrey. When they were smash mouth, behind Trey Turner.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. So I'm excited to see Trey Turner come in because that's, again, we've talked about this last week. It's an immediate bump in, it was going to be an immediate bump at backup. Now it's an immediate bump from where we thought we were going to be with the loss of Dave DeCastro.
And it's nice, too, that he only was a $3 million deal. 1 year, $3 million, $2 million on the signing bonus. That's not a real hard pill to swallow. And Pittsburgh's sitting at about $13 million, a little bit under $13 million, under the cap right now. It's a good position to be.
Very good position.
Because you just never know what's going to come up. Actually, here's a funny story for you. I was at a picnic the other day. A good buddy of mine's going off to Kuwait. And he'll be gone for about 10 months or so. And a couple friends of mine that are Browns fans were there, and they're always trying to give me good-natured ribbing. But then I heard them talking about how I could see the realization hit on their faces as they realized they had to pay Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, and Denzel Ward all at the same time. And they looked at each other and said, "We can't afford to do it."
Nope.
You know what I said to them? "Don't worry about it. Denzel Ward is going to look great in black and gold."
I could see it happening.
Dude.
We took Joe Hayden.
And they just drafted Greg Newsome in the first round and the year before Greedy Williams in the, the second round. They drafted his replacements.
Denzel Ward, we'll be seeing you soon.
Yes. I believe it will happen. It's not the first time I've said it on the pod, but I'm going to say it again.
Listen, something about corners going to other teams in the AFC North. Mike Hilton being a Bengal now.
Yeah.
Joe Hayden being a Steeler. Denzel Ward soon to be Steeler.
Let's go.
Browns only have this year left to make a run, I think. Let me clarify. They're going to still be good, but I think they're going to drop off drastically. Losing
guys. Yeah, they're going to start losing guys due to the cap.
Yep.
Because there's only so many you can pay. When you pay Baker Mayfield, you're probably going to have to cut some guys.
Oh, yeah. Cut some guys or just choose not to sign somebody.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely even don't even know how they're going to pay Myles Garrett and Baker. Those two together, I don't know how they're going to do it, which is scary for the Browns.
And then Chubb's going to demand $15 million a year at least.
Yep.
Yeah. I love it. It's their turn to be in salary cap hell.
We'll see what happens. We will see.
Yeah, so who's not in salary cap hell is Pittsburgh. Kendrick Green still has not signed.
Kendrick Green. We got some more information about that as well.
Yeah, so it turns out that this is not just a Pittsburgh thing. This is a league-wide thing. There's a very small number of third-round draft picks who have actually signed their contracts
this far. Like seven of them.
Yeah. And the third round has like 40-plus guys because all the compensatory picks in the third round as well. So this is going to be interesting to see. Apparently, there's a range you can make between, let's say, 97 to 100 as far as your range of dollars per year, whatever, right? And what they're trying to do is, like, the first two rounds, everybody's gotten fully guaranteed the top end of the range. And they're trying to creep that through the third round and get it all the way through the draft where everybody gets fully guaranteed up to the higher end of the range. And the third round is where it starts to fall apart. So being that only a few of the guys have signed, there isn't, he's not wedged in between other people that have signed their contracts
yet.
So we need a few more of the other guys to sign their contracts so he knows what he can expect, and then the deal will be done. But obviously it's not a holdout situation, or he never would have come to camp. So I don't expect this to be any sort of issue as far as him not reporting to camp or anything like that. He was already at the mini camps. He was already at rookie camp. He'll be at training camp. It's just a situation of him trying to get every single penny that he can possibly get, and you can't blame him. You know, this is your first shot at big money in your life. If you play well enough under that four-year rookie deal, then you make way more on your next deal.
Yep.
But there's no reason not to maximize it. What's the rush?
Yeah, he's gonna.
It's not negatively impacting him in any way not to have this deal done. So why not wait?
He's gonna wait. He's gonna wait, and he's probably gonna. He's probably gonna get paid.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he's probably going to get the high end of it.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that is reassuring that it's not a holdout issue. He's showing up to things. It's just playing the waiting game, which over half the NFL third round picks are doing anyway. So it's not just Pittsburgh, thankfully.
Yeah.
So he's the last guy that needs signed for Pittsburgh, and then once he's signed, we're good to go.
Yeah, and it's an important piece because really we wanted to kind of finish up today's show talking about the state of the offensive line because it has changed so much. I mean, originally the losses of Alejandro Villanueva, Matt Filer,
Marquise Pouncey.
Marquise Pouncey the year before Ramon Foster. They traded away Marcus Gilbert, who was an excellent right tackle for Pittsburgh for years. And now the final piece, David DeCastro, of the old guard of the offensive line, which was known to be one of the top, if not the top, offensive line in all of professional football. And my first question is, should Pittsburgh look at this last draft and regret not taking offensive line higher?
I don't know.
It seems as though they weren't planning on losing David DeCastro. Had they known they were going to lose David DeCastro, did you change your strategy a little bit?
I think they probably still get Harris in the first.
Yeah.
Because they were sold on him so hard.
But they were the same on Freiermuth. That's the problem. And you weren't getting them in the third.
I'm processing this, I don't think they'd stop. I don't think with where they wanted to be in the run game, I don't think losing DeCastro would have made them A, re-sign James Conner, or B, not drafted Najee Harris.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing they could have justified switching is the Pat Freiermuth. I know that they were sold on him. I don't disagree with that. But I think that would have been a harder decision for them than any of the other ones they could have done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I see that. And then kind of the way I look at that, too, is say you substitute Pat Freiermuth for a guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got a rookie guard, a rookie center, a rookie tackle that's our number one backup, basically. But then the next position you could have taken a tight end at, if you still took the next offensive lineman in the next round, so it was the end of the fourth round in the compensatory pick. And now you're getting a guy that might not be better than Zach Gentry.
Would they have traded up for a pick?
A conundrum, you know? Or when you trade up for Isaiah Loudermilk, is that where you take another offensive lineman instead if you know you're losing David DeCastro? Mm. And what do you do this upcoming year? You know, now you know you don't have DeCastro. Trey Turner was signed to a one-year deal, so you don't have Trey Turner. Okorafor is in the last year of his deal, so you may not have Okorafor, although I think they'll probably sign him back unless he has a really bad year.
Yeah.
But even so, your depth next year on the offensive line once again will be looking questionable. Banner will be going into the last year of his deal because he only signed a two-year deal. You'll need to draft two offensive linemen again next year.
That you will. It's going to be wild.
And probably high.
It's going to be a wild time.
You can't wait till the fifth or sixth round to start drafting these offensive linemen, because, again, you could be looking at drafting a starter again. Maybe two.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if I look at the state of the offensive line, because that's what we're discussing, the state of the offensive line, I know that we talk about how Pittsburgh's never wants to get in the mindset of rebuilding.
Yeah.
But they only reload. I agree with that. I love that statement. This offensive line is literally being rebuilt.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I think
that... It didn't have enough time to reload.
No, not at all. I think that we're going to see... I personally believe this. I'm not just saying this because I'm a Steelers fan. I personally believe we're going to see a horrible first two games of preseason in the sense of the starting offensive line. I just genuinely think it's going to be rough. Yeah. I think once they go against other players who are not on your team, it's going to be a hard time for them to realize, get back in the swing of things kind of thing.
Especially if Banner isn't healthy yet.
Yeah, especially
if Banner. And think if they, what if they start J.C. Hasenhauer, because, you know, they always have a habit of letting veterans start first and fail and lose out to the young guys.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a fun preseason for us in the sense of our offensive line. I do believe, however, by, I don't know what week, I'm going to say week three, that offensive line going to be moving.
And gelling.
Oh, yeah. I think they will be in a groove. I think week three will have, by that time, we'll have the starting five offensive linemen set. And I think they'll be moving in the right direction. So again, first games of preseason and week one, week two, Pittsburgh's going to be like somewhere in there, hopefully before week one, they'll be like, okay, this isn't working. We need to change something, switch somebody out, whatever. They're going to do it. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
That's my belief.
And I expect Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris to be used in pass protection a lot this year. I think when you're going against those better defensive lines and outside linebackers that are really good pass rushers, expect them to use like a max protect kind of look and keep Freiermuth and Najee Harris, or maybe one or the other, in there to help out, to chip and to pick up people that lose their blocks right away and whatnot.
We're probably going to suffer seeing some screens and quick passes the first few games, but that's fine and dandy. I also believe that let me clarify. I want to see some tight end screens this year to Freiermuth. That would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why not, man? He's a physical guy. What we've seen in his college tape so far is that he does not go to the ground easy. He shrugs off DBs when they try to tackle him, and he gets the extra yards, man. So I'd love to see that, especially in those situations where you're trying to convert that first down. Throw to him on third down and let the man just do what he does and just be more physical than defenders and go get the extra yards for the first.
Yeah, run some misdirection to the left and tight end screen to the right, and he'll be on the off to the races. But that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it so much. Make sure to be continuing to like and share all the posts you see on Facebook. We really want to try and just encourage you guys to like things and try to continue getting our name out there. We're growing slowly but surely, and we appreciate all the things that you guys do to help us with that growth. So be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.